I'd like to welcome today Reverend Richard Blood. He's the General Presbyter of the Presbytery of Northern Waters, and he's our contact, one of our denomination contacts in our search for a new pastor. And at this point, I turn it over to Ruth for announcements.
So Bible study this Wednesday, and then they're taking a couple weeks off, and then they'll finish up. The Advent study, we decided to do that. Next Sunday is the annual Christmas Cookie Sunday. So when you come next week, if you've got some Christmas cookies to bring that you've been baking, Jeff, I know you've been baking diligently, bring some cookies anyway, and we'll all share them. The other thing is that we are having, this year for Christmas Eve, we're having a congregation-led service. We won't have a regular pastor here. And so I'm still looking, Diaconate's still looking for people to do things like light the Advent candle, do the scripture readings. So if you're planning on being here for Christmas Eve and you'd like to have a part in the service, let me know or let somebody from the Diaconate know and we'll get you in. We've got some positions filled, but we're still looking. We'd like to get as many people from the congregation involved as we can. So anyway, thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's good to be with you this morning. Let's come before God in prayer. Merciful God, you come into our midst longing for communion with us, becoming one of us. Break our resistance to life with you. Show us the path towards just relations and bring us into your unimaginable peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
First reading is from the book of Genesis, Chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, and verse 31, page 1 in your pew Bible. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25, page 919 in your pew Bible. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." The next reading, the gospel reading, is from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting John up in prison.
We all know that Advent is the season of waiting in hope, right? But what exactly are we waiting for? Christmas? Actually, the main thing we wait for during Advent is what we call the second coming. That's why our true Advent hymns have words like, "Jesus comes with clouds descending, and lift up your heads, mighty gates, welcoming the coming King." But is this second coming a good thing or a bad thing? What is the mood here? Is it fire and brimstone? Repent, the end is near? The end, period? Prepare for judgment. That's what we heard in our Luke passage. And we might think so from hymns like "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." Know that Advent hymn? "Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded. Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand." Or from our Presbyterian Westminster Confession, "How is Christ to be exalted in his coming to judge the world? He who was unjustly judged by wicked men shall come again at the last day in great power, and in the full manifestation of his own glory, to judge the world in righteousness." And then we all know Matthew 25 with its terrifying words about separating sheep from goats and consigning some to eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This doesn't sound much like good news. Gospel, something to wait for, anticipate with excitement. How is this a hopeful thing that we wait for? Judgment is real. We'll talk more about that later. But the second coming is and always has been called the blessed hope of the church. And actually, the hope of all creation, as Paul puts it this morning. In fact, Paul says, "All creation waits with eager longing for the events surrounding Christ's return." That the whole creation has been in groaning and labor pains until now, waiting for release. So what does all creation wait for? I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. All creation waits, Paul says, for the revealing of the children of God. That's a curious phrase. But Paul lives, as none of us really do today, in the big story of the Bible. That story starts back in Genesis with God creating this world very good and putting who in charge of it? Adam, Eve, us, humanity, created to reflect God's glory into the world and to be its stewards, to be the image of God in creation. Well, what happens next in that story? We all remember that story. Humanity abdicates, fails to do and to be all that God calls us to do and to be. And our sin, according to the rabbis, had consequences for all creation. Since we were in charge, the image of God in creation, when we handed our power over to the serpent, chaos, demonic forces were let loose in this world. Creation was left sick, broken, suffering, not reflecting the will of the God who made it. Our genes break. Entropy does its thing. Disease rules. Everything dies. Violence and injustice win far too often. Well, what will it take to set things right? In the story Paul is telling, it's humanity restored, again reflecting God's glory into the world. God's will being done on earth as in heaven. Us being restored to our places, faithful caretakers, using our gifts for God and for creation. All of that we've just talked about is what Paul means when he says the revealing of the children of God. And that's where judgment comes into the story. Judgment isn't mostly about punishment. That's not what God cares about or ever has cared about. Judgment is about setting what's gone wrong with this world right, fixing what's broken, straightening things out, starting with us, so that we can be a part of God's plan to set the whole world right. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Well, going back to the Genesis story that Paul is working from here, what happens after that thing that we sometimes call the fall? Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, told they'll die, right? We've often thought that that was just about us, that it's about people, and the remedy for the death sentence is having our souls saved in some otherworldly hereafter. I'll fly away. But that's not the story that Paul is telling here. Paul says all creation's destiny is bound up with ours. It's caretakers. It's stewards. The image of God in this world. And God never gave up on God's good creation any more than God gave up on us from the beginning. God planned not only to save us, but the world that God put us in charge of, with us, and through us. The Bible was never a story about destroying the planet and delivering some of us from the wreck of the world. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about Christians being raptured to someplace out there. Whatever judgment is coming, it's not about burning the place down, giving us our just rewards. The story isn't about saving some of us from the wreck of the world. It's about sorting everything out. Delivering all creation from the mess that we've made of things and making all things new. And so, in the story that Paul is telling, when humanity is saved, death conquered, it's not a spiritual experience of going to heaven for a few who have done right, believed right. It's the physical renewal of all things. The rebirth of this whole amazing, beautiful world. The whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, waiting, hoping, longing. O come, Emmanuel. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies. And this, the whole story, all of this, the wonderful goodness of creation, the interconnectedness of our own destinies and the world around us, our creation to be the caretakers, the representatives, the image of God in creation, and God's commitment to save the whole world and use us as its stewards, as intended in the beginning, is why Paul believes that our salvation means the redemption of our bodies. Resurrection in and for this world, what we wait for, why our creeds insist on that strange thing called the resurrection of the body. Now, Paul says, we have the Spirit. And for Paul, the Spirit already at work in our broken, disease-plagued, aging bodies, chromosomes breaking down, subject to the curse of Genesis 3, is the promise of a better world coming and the promise of resurrection, the promise of our physical part in a coming day when this whole world is healed and set right. And the Spirit, Paul says, is already at work in us. It may be hard to comprehend what a whole renewed world and renewed humanity will be like. Free from death? Free from decay? Free to reflect what God wants for this world? It's mind-boggling stuff. But God is already making us into new creations, longing from the inside out, for God's will to be done. What we shall be changed from the inside out. We groan with creation in a world where everything still dies, everything gets sick, where we lose our health, our loved ones, where we watch kids suffer. We watch our parents get dementia. Where we cry out over injustice all around us, the destruction of the planet itself. But we do it as Christians, knowing that a better day is coming, because the Spirit is already at work in us. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. It isn't easy for us to wrap our minds around what all creation set right will be like. Lots of questions there. How will it all work? What about this? What about that? But it is our hope. A day when the lion lies down with the lamb, when justice rolls down like waters, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when we beat our swords into plowshares and study war no more forever, when the earth is as full of the glory of God as the waters fill the sea, when death is no more, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain, when God's kingdom comes and God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray. So, as wonderful as a hymn like "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence" is, and as fully as we need to honor the need for judgment to set a broken and corrupted world right, as our creeds and as the Gospels talk about, Edmund Sears got all creation's hope right. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. We don't wait for the end. We wait for the way the world was always meant to be from the very beginning. God has never given up on creation. And while we wait, we pray. And while we pray, we work, knowing that a new day has already dawned. And God has intended from the beginning to use us, humanity, created in God's image, humanity renewed as stewards, helping to set all things right. All creation waits with eager longing. O come, Emmanuel. And now to the one who by the power at work in us is able to do far beyond all that we ask or even imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen. Go in love to serve the Lord, showing mercy to all. And may the God of peace, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, in whom we watch and wait. Amen.